It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. That's how I start every Bluff City Outdoor Show, by thanking Perry Woods for our theme song there. But I actually mean it for real this week, Mark, because Perry
is in studio with us.
Yep. Welcome to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show. I'm Tony Colombo. That is Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. And also in studio with us is the great Perry Woods and professional fisherman Mike Marfell. We got a packed house today. Great to see
everybody.
It's
not even New Year's Eve and me and Perry are on together.
I know, right?
There's no alcohol.
So this is just it's a great time of year. I've told a lot of my own personal fishing stories. Perry is in almost every one of those stories because there's nobody that I fish with more than Perry, who's also, of course, a great part of the St. Louis music scene, the local music scene that we have here. But I just figured it's like the perfect time. This is the time of year, Mark, right? That we all, springtime is great because you're ready to get back out there after the winter. But these next couple months, I mean, this is when St. Louis weather is.
This is when it's at its best.
Yeah.
And for me, my favorite seasons are in order: fall, winter, spring, summer.
Oh, there you go. So it starts now.
It starts now. Yes.
The cycle starts now. So, just since we're going to be talking, looking back at the summer and the recent Alton Catfish Classic, but also looking forward to fall fishing and all of the fun that goes along with that. I thought it was a perfect week to have Perry in here joining us in the discussion. And Mike is here, of course, as well. Is it, for the recreational guy, this is great because the weather's freaking great. Does this time of year stand out at all as far as, like, results, or is
my favorite time of the year? Yeah, to be in the water.
So it
in the springtime is all about making sweet, and now they're wanting to eat because they're getting ready for the winter. So it's the time to go out and catch big numbers.
Yeah. So
and that summer pattern, it's breaking up. It's a shorter days.
Yeah,
cooler nights. It's
the
bite is getting really good.
We've been talking about that summer pattern for months now, and I think we'll get into every week. We bring you the fishing report that covers basically all of the state of Missouri and Illinois. We'll do that towards the end of the show, as we do each and every week, and get you updated there. But that term summer pattern is not going to be used a whole lot.
Mentioned much on the bass report anyway.
Yeah. So let's just start right there. I know you have some upcoming tournaments, and so as you're prepping to go out on the water this time of year, what are the differences from what you were doing, a month ago, a few weeks ago, when we were in that full blown summer pattern to now?
When the summer pattern, they're way more bunched up. Okay. And now you're going to have to move because they spread out, and they're going to be chasing the shad back into the backs of the creeks.
You're going to hear that in the fishing report. Find the bait.
Find the bait, because they're there. Okay. And that's what they're going to be pushing their way back from now until the water starts to get cool, and then they'll back out to the deeper channel swings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's the best time of year because – if you're not getting bit at Lake of the Ozarks, you need to move because they're biting somewhere.
And this is when they're the most aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said they're filling up for the winter.
For the winter.
Yeah.
They when those days start getting shorter, much like when they start getting longer, so they know it's time to do our thing for the spawn.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way when it starts getting shorter, they know it's time to start feeding. Yeah. Winter's coming.
Mark, you guys work.
That's more important than water temperature.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's no one way to skin this cat. But in my opinion, that's what's always in my head.
Yeah. So you guys obviously work so closely with a lot of catfishing guides, particularly on the Missouri and Mississippi. Is it the same story?
It's pretty much the same story. You know, they got to find the bait. The fishers kind of, we're not quite to that fall bite yet. I mean, it just, but we're close. You can tell it's coming on. And so you got to find the bait. If you find the bait, you find the fish.
You know, and speaking of catfishing, we had a little bit of time last week to talk about it, but last week was it was kind of like, you know, it was still in the chaos of the aftermath of digesting the Alton Catfish Classic. Now that we are a couple weeks away, and I highly recommend, if you missed last week's show, we talked to the one of the guys from the winning team that not only won the overall tournament with the biggest combined weight of the three fish, but also caught the big fish of the tournament, which was 106 pounds.
106, yep.
Yeah.
It was giant.
So now that we've got a little bit of, now that we've had a little bit of time to process everything, looking back at this year's classic, what are your thoughts?
It was good. I mean, we had a, like I said, that fishing was, you know, still kind of tough because it had, you know, we had a front come through and kind of cooled it off. And so it was still tough, but they caught fish, and it was a great, I mean, the way it ran again was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
What weight line do you have to catch a 100-pound catfish?
So you got your, some of your cat fishermen are, they're into the braid, and they're going to be running anywhere from 65, 80 to 100-pound braid on there. And then you got your purists who still run monofilament. They'll run a 30 or 40-pound line, and they'll let the, you know, let the rod and
the rod and the drag do all the work.
Let the rod and the drag do all the work.
Yeah. It doesn't even seem.
And the boat, right? You can kind of just let him pull the
pull along. Yeah, and just, I get it. I completely understand how all that works. But I still can't, my brain just can't understand a 40-pound or 30-pound line bringing in a 100-pound fish.
What's the big fish that down the lake they just throw a hook out and drag? And
spoonbill.
Spoonbill paddlefish. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So are you saying doing it like that, you're dragging your line behind the boat for the catfish?
No, they're rod and reeling, using bait, and they're dragging baits, you know, trying to get
a
legit
hook.
I'm saying
let the boat be kind of dragged, too, in that current.
Okay. Just, yep.
And here's, Tony, remember a few shows ago when I was telling you when I lost those big fish in that tournament, I hadn't fished in the summer?
Allegedly.
It was because I hit them so hard, and then I cranked on them and angered them. If you don't let the fish know it's in a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
The beginning part of that fight, you can wear it down without it and really know when it's in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you kind of wear it down a little bit. I made those bass angry.
Yeah.
And the water was warm. They were up, and they came up and threw my bait.
You didn't catch those fish because you were too good.
Yeah.
It's like the guy at the job interview, like, what's your weaknesses? Well, I try too hard.
I'm really
sometimes
good.
I give too much.
I have such a killer hook set that it angers the fish.
But yeah, but it is
how your
is.
Wife gets you to go shopping.
Yeah,
she doesn't
that's
force
true.
You. She just kind of leads you along.
But it just does not compute in my mind that they can land and bring
working.
In a 100-pound fish
it's
with a 30-pound line.
The drag. I mean, you're in monofilament line stretches.
Yeah.
So it's just you just gotta let it stretch.
Yeah.
10-foot pole, 7-8.
7-6 is what most guys are using in the boat.
Yeah.
10-foot from the bank, but 7-6 is the most common size.
Right. So we were, you know, the milestones that we were talking about before the tournament. You know, wanting to get that 100-pound fish, which we see multiple a year in our area. So we knew it was just a matter of time, and it finally did happen this year in the tournament. And, you know, the mythical, the big one is the 200-pound weight limit in a three fish tournament, which has never been done. But I think the tournament that will eventually have that happen in will be the Alton Catfish Classic. Just looking back at the overall results experience, the stories that you heard from all the guys out there, you know, what was the takeaways from the tournament in general?
The cat fishermen were they were happy. I mean, it was a great tournament again. Alex ran a great tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and then the audience was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just, we've built that audience up, and it's just going to, I think, keep getting better.
I cannot.
Are they too big to eat?
Yeah, all those big fish. You know, we're in the mindset there at Bluff City that if it's over 10 pounds, throw it back. house. Mm-hmm. If you want some eaters, go catch some channel cats. Get you some dip bait.
8 pound channel cats.
Yeah, you know, 2 to 3 pounders. You can catch all of them you want out there in the river.
Yeah.
And those are the good eaters.
Yeah.
Let those big fish produce big fish.
Tony, I can speak to the crowd thing there because I was there with the family.
Uh-huh.
And then Aaron Sleet, a young black guy that I work with, brought his family because I told him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are both planning on going back, getting an Airbnb, and spending the whole weekend there with the festival.
Awesome.
Because our kids can ride rides.
Awesome.
While we sit and watch the catfish.
It is. It truly is. I mean, when you think about weigh-in that you've seen on television with the boats, you know, the trucks pulling up, trailing the boat, and the fishermen.
It was a lot like
out,
my bass tournament.
Pulling out,
it was a lot like
pulling the
so
fish
impressed.
Out of the live well, weighing it in front of an audience. I mean, that is the setting at the Alton Catfish Classic. It is awesome.
How do you pull a 100-pound catfish?
Carefully.
You bend it.
It took off a few hats that day.
You
sure.
bend at the knees, not the
you lift
waist.
With the legs. You know that. You lift with the legs.
Yeah, they got it. I mean, when they're getting out of the water, it can be a struggle. I remember we watched the video. It was a Micah. What was his last name? Oh, yeah. Tennessee holder.
Yep. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But yeah, he had to get it in there by himself. You know? And Burkhardt, I think.
That's it. Like, yeah, Micah Burkhardt. Yeah.
It ends up being like noodling.
He had to. He tried getting in the net, and it was. They got giant nets. Well,
they also have a giant gripper to get a hold of them.
We have some great pictures from this year of James with my little green holder holding up a little tiny bluegill.
Yeah. It's funny that you just mentioned noodling. Noodling had that whole, like, that 15 minutes of fame few years ago.
There's a hold of that 106, it's going to drown your
television
boat.
Shows and everything. Is that a thing still?
Some states. Yeah.
That and the snakes. There were snakes, too.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Mm-mm. No.
Forget that.
No. We don't have a big noodling. We don't have a big noodling community here.
I don't know if it's.
Oklahoma, it's huge.
Oklahoma is huge. Yeah. Illinois, it's illegal to do that.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know who would want to do that.
I agree,
really.
But I also don't know why it would be illegal. I mean,
how would just a regular Joe know when they're fishing in Illinois that they couldn't do that?
You have to read the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be.
They're spawning. That's why it's illegal, right, Mark?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, it's just. I just watch those videos. They get out there and they walk around until they step on one, and then they go down and get it. I'm going, holy crap! Mm-mm. You know,
no.
A lot of them set baskets too, like for the fish to get back into, right?
Yep.
So they put holes in the bank. Mm-hmm.
Lefty caught the biggest catfish, but he lost 2 toes.
This is what the show is all about. We're just talking fishing. We're just talking fishing on a great fall weekend in St. Louis, and we are glad you are with us. This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show. We'll bring you that fishing report in just a little bit, and want to look forward to some of the fishing coming up. Want to talk to Mike about the upcoming tournaments that he is in and prepping and things that you could do to make sure you have maximum success out on the water here in the fall season. And also, Mark, we need to touch on, we'll touch on today, and we'll talk a whole lot more in the coming weeks about hunting season. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's right around, started in Missouri, bow season.
So,
getting ready to start in Illinois here in about a week, I guess.
For deer and turkey or just for deer?
For deer.
For deer.
Yeah, and no better place.
And they're moving right now. I was sitting out on my porch, and I live in a subdivision in Fenton.
Dude,
five of them walked up the street. I was just sitting there sipping a whiskey, listening to my audiobook, and I was like, how are you deer doing?
We'll get Tim Shelswick from Drury Outdoors on one day, really soon, next week or the following week, but to confirm this. But yeah, it seems like the population, seems like numbers are just booming across our area when it comes to
deer. Yeah, I see them. Every time I drive home after closing the shop, I have to watch, so I don't want to run into him.
And it's not just getting ready for your next fishing trip, of course. Bluff City Outdoors there in Alton, about a mile east of Fast Eddie, is also the place to go to make sure that your archery equipment, your bow, is ready, tuned up, restrung, and ready to go for this new season as well. So we'll talk about all of that and more as we go through the day today here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 119 941 News Talk. Let's see it.
This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Packed studio this week, just talking about fishing and being outside in probably the best time of year to enjoy the great outdoors here in the St. Louis area. I'm Tony Colombo. Of course, I am joined by my partner, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Also, professional fisherman Mike Marfell is with us, and musician Perry Woods, because he's my fishing buddy. And
yeah, your buddy that hooks your head.
Yeah. Just showing pictures during the break there of a lure embedded into my hat that was put there by Perry's backswing.
You call it a helmet there in that
are,
instance.
Yes, there are some. Everybody's got that story. I think you just mentioned it. That I had one in my thumb. That's probably the worst.
I'm gonna find it.
Yeah, the worst.
It was so bad. I said, Tony, would you like some help? And he goes, No, I need you to go to the other end of the boat, and I'll be okay. And he took a razor out and he cut it out of his thumb.
Oh my gosh!
True story. True story. I don't need you to talk. He goes, I don't need you to talk to me. I need you to go to the other end of the boat.
The boat's only 19 feet, but if it would have been like, you know, would have been in a house, you know, it'd been like, I need you to go on the other side of the house. Like, I need you to go as far away from me. I was like, do you just go, just keep fishing. Just go fit. Like, act like there's, you just go about your pleasant day on the water and don't worry one bit about me. Yeah, because that barb was it was all the way in. Yeah. How do you, like, Mike, with that, okay, here, I didn't anticipate this question this week, but I am fascinated by this all the time. When I watch professionals on television, the way that you guys grab so quickly the fish with the hook still in the mouth, troubled hook in the mouth, you know, guys will stick their hands in the water and grab that fish by the mouth while it's still in the water, while it's still got the hooks in its mouth. And it just seems so natural and easy. And I would cut myself. I'd have hooks sticking out of every part of my arm if I tried to do that stuff.
You're gonna have it hooked in the mouth, and then your hand's gonna be hooked, and you're going, how do I get it out?
Is it just experience? I don't even know how you get the experience, because I am afraid to do it once or twice to even get like used to how to do that.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Anything with treble hooks scares me to death.
Yeah. Is it just about when you're in a tournament, you need to be fast, you need to be efficient, and
that's a money sitting on the end of the boat. You got to get that money in the boat.
That is crazy.
We are fortunate in the tournaments I fish, you're allowed to use a net for starters.
Right.
And I do not use a net unless it's a treble hooked bait.
Yeah.
If it's on a jig or a spinner bait, I'll grab it.
Is there
you
any?
You can see where that one hook is, you're good.
Right. Is there anything to look for, any technique, any way to, or is it just like something you just got to
do? You're going to get hooks in your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just part of it.
And at least with.
But like we were talking off air, maybe it was on air. Lead them nice and easy. Don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't get excited. Now, I'm a jig fisherman mostly. That's 99% of the time, 95 at least. And I use heavy line. I swing them in the boat.
Yeah.
If I see he's hooked, he's just coming.
Right.
Just reel him and throw him in the bottom of the boat.
Yeah.
Or throw him up and catch him like a football in my chest.
Right.
You know, that's the advantage of using 22-pound fluorocarbon.
Yeah. And at least with a bass, you don't have to worry about anything else. But like catfish, especially.
Oh, you get all kinds of stuff
with
that. Yikes.
Barbs and everything else that are on. Like, I feel like I've fished a lot. I feel very comfortable handling fish and getting them, but like I am still just fascinated, blown away when I see people that are just so natural, because I'm so slow and careful and what, like,
I'm not reaching gloves.
The best way for me, I've lost more, why I don't use a net in a tournament if it's on a jig.
Yeah,
I've lost more fish going for the net and letting that little slack get in the line instead of concentrate. I run a single console bass boat.
Mm-hmm.
So I get down in that passenger seat and I lead it right up there with its mouth open and just grab it. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll grab it, throw the rod down and bear hug it, you know, and get it in the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, but if it's got treble hooks, I'm going for the net because I don't want to go to the emergency room. I don't want to spend 20 minutes trying to get cut a hook out of my hand with a razor blade like Tony. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I don't need to see it again. I remember it. I remember it vividly. What's the worst you've ever done? Have you ever had
hooked my mother in the head.
Here we go.
I've never been hooked really bad, but I was probably 12, and we were in one of those pond prowlers. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little pontoon-looking things with a half-ounce rattle trap, and I just two-handed went back like that, and I felt it stop, and it stopped because it was in the back of my mom's head. And she looked at me and said, "Don't panic, but I think I might pass out."
Oh, my. Oh, geez.
It was that bad.
Yeah, it was deep. So it was way before cell phones. This is in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the trolling motor on high, to the bank we go, and to the farmhouse I ran up to, they called an ambulance. The ambulance had to come out. I buried 4 of the 6 trebles way past the barb in the back of her head.
You got one?
I did it to myself, but I was throwing a rattle trap type bait, spinning rod, and it slipped right in the back of my head and had 4 of the 6. And I'm walk up my dad and was down to my grandpa's house fishing the pond, and I said, "Dad, look at this." And he goes, And he goes, "Well, we got 2 options." He goes, "Either we can go to the hospital and let them yank them out, or I can yank them out. So I said, "Well, Dad, just go ahead and try it."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, talk about bleed.
Oh,
my God.
Have you seen the braided line trick, though, now?
I've heard about that.
You got to watch the video. I can't do it justice on the radio.
Martin, right?
Aaron Martin?
No, the father.
Roland Martin.
Roland Martin. Isn't that who talked about that trick?
Wrap the braid and just snap it.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, look it up on YouTube. I can't do it justice.
So just one more. Our first show for Bluff City Outdoors at Sunfish Lake, somehow I hooked my calf.
Nice.
Yeah. And so we're literally talking about it.
That's how good you are.
We killed a crappie.
The other thing, we were live. We were doing a live stream
with video and everything.
We were doing a live stream, and the crappie had totally swallowed the lure, and Perry's trying to get it back in the water, and we're like, and put it back in, and the fish is back in the water, happy to, be
float there
be
on the top.
And the very next comment, we were live streaming. It was on Periscope back in the day of Periscope. Nice. And, like, I literally say the words on the live stream, Perry says, and there he goes, back in the water, happy and healthy, and then immediately on the screen, that fish is dead. From one of the viewers.
Which means it's a sandwich at that point.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is, you've all had that happen. It infuriates me how many times I screamed this while we're fishing. You get hung up on a leaf, or something on, near the bank, or you get it embedded in you, and you have to cut it out because of the barb. It's like, how do the fish get off? Like when you get one halfway to the boat and they get off, you're like, it took me 45 minutes to get it off of my thumb.
I can't take a jerk bait out of my box and get it tied on without hooking something.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Whether it's me or the carpet or my pants.
Yeah. How do they get off there? Yeah. Just.
I fortunately have wood floors in my house, and that's where I do all that.
That's a good thing.
Ground.
I don't even know where I was going, but this is exactly what this is exactly why I wanted to have this conversation, because it's just that time of year. Hopefully everybody's getting out there and having fun on the water and talking fishing. We'll bring you that fishing report here in just a few minutes, but we'll get into some of that nitty-gritty details, Mike, when we get to the fishing report. But in general, what are this time of year, switching over from summer to fall, what are some of the things that you're looking for out there?
Bait, and wind.
Yeah. So find those shad.
Wind to disguise your bait. If you're fishing a spinner bait or a jerk bait or something that's moving that you don't want them to get a good look at,
mm-hmm.
You want a little wind. So wind mixed with bait.
Yeah.
Basically.
And what do you mean by wind? Fishing with the wind, fishing against the wind, fishing.
Just you want the yeah. best mm-hmm. condition is where you can find a stretch of bank that looks right, that has the wind hitting it at 90 degrees, blowing straight into mm-hmm. the bank. Mm-hmm. General rule of thumb is you always want to fish into the wind, the way the fish will position looking into the wind. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if the wind's blowing in your face, the fish, and you're bringing the bait back to you, the fish is going to be setting into the wind, so they're going to see it coming. It's not going to be coming from behind them, generally.
Any difference structure-wise or just same, you know, all the same type
the
of
the same stuff
spots?
That you would fish in the springtime
mm-hmm.
when they're moving out, they're coming back to spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Transition rock from gravel to pea gravel, from boulder to chunk rock. They're going to, and at Lake of the Ozarks, you're going to figure out pretty quick what kind of rock they're like. And then you can run that in a 5 mile, 10 mile stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Just start finding that kind of rock with the wind blowing out and bait around it. There's going to be bass there.
Yeah.
What do you say to people like myself that buy lures because they look good?
Those are the lures that catch fishermen, not fish.
It's like the
I do the same thing.
That bets on a sports game because they like the red team.
Yeah.
A lion can beat a dolphin, right?
Yeah.
You know what? That actually, so this is a real question because, like, I've talked about my dad in the past. I could always tell you if looking at a tackle box, you know, or whatever, like, you know, whose tackle box it was by looking at the crankbait, you know, by looking at what's in there. And my dad was a big fan of natural looking bait. So like a crankbait, he wanted it to be gray and, you know, and black and like look like a
fish. Yep.
Yeah. He never wanted purple with yellow polka dots or anything like that.
But it's yeah, so you know, as being somebody who's, you know, has to sell
things, yeah,
you
know, yeah, no, I, that's why off, I feel like you're the perfect person
you know, we've never sold anything to a fish. You know, so we have to, you know.
Sold anything to somebody who identifies as a fish?
Not that's yet, but I know that's coming.
That's a whole different show.
Don't go there.
But
go there.
You know, it really is that, right, though. When we're looking at the color selection, you know, you're looking at the stuff that looks like a shad, looks like a bluegill, looks like a crawfish.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the colors that you know, do catch the most fish, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what's weird, though, is some of the stuff that's never caught on, like the live target baits and that was like a clear crankbait that looked like it had actual minnows in it. Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. it seems like when it looks exactly like it, it doesn't ever catch on and work as well. I think that you need something with that flat, you know, a little bit of flash.
That should work,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But you got to get people to buy it, to try it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll never really know.
Yeah.
But there's some that don't make sense, though. I mean,
your
black crankbaits, they work.
They work great.
There's no fish out there that looks like that.
That's exactly, what I was.
But they can see that color in dark water better.
But they can see that color.
Bill Dance said light water, light bait, dark water, dark bait.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's exactly kind of where I was going. Like, I get when there's a lure that looks like a frog or looks like a crawdad or looks like a small fish because that's what they eat, that's what they want. It doesn't seem logical that they would eat a chartreuse.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we all think too much about it. They are predators, and they don't care what it looks like. If it's close to them, they're going to eat it.
I literally have like 20 cardinal red crankbaits.
Right.
And nothing wrong with that
out there, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Crawfish in Texas. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on?
We have crawfish around here that are red.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's just
red's a great color.
Red's a great color.
Yeah.
It's one of the better colors.
What's the state of the crawfish industry? Because wasn't there a shortage recently?
There's no supply as far as a bait fish crawfish. They don't exist around here. I mean, I'd love to have crawdads at the shop.
Yeah.
And there's no better natural live bait if you're going to, just wipe out fish with crawdads, but there's no supplier. I do have a customer that's got like 8 ponds that were just trying to get going. So I told him I'll buy them all.
There's an opportunity there.
Man, that would be incredible.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, that would be absolutely.
Like a salmon farm.
Yeah. When it comes to recreational fishermen, I don't know why I don't even know why I'm like this, P. I don't know why we'd ever, like, we don't even consider live bait when we go fishing? It never even crosses our mind.
I went to Rim Lake with one of my high school buddies, and he had, right as you're getting to the lake, one of the little gas stations had a whole bunch of minnows.
Yeah.
And so he bought, you know, a bag full of them, and he did really well with crappie.
Yeah.
But I'm a bass guy, so I didn't buy anything. I just used my
But yeah. we're not prepping for a tournament. I mean, we could, you know, like, there's nothing stopping us from using. And so,
can you do that in a tournament? Can you have both plastic and we're live?
No, not in a tournament.
Right. Is the recreational in, you know, the customers at Bluff City Outdoors, is there more people fishing with live bait or with lures?
So your crappie guys, there's a lot of minnows, because there's sometimes where they just won't hit a jig. Yeah. They just simply won't hit a jig, but they'll hit a minnow almost all the time. Yep. The minnows are great spring and the fall because they're easy to keep alive. Summer, you know, you buy them, but they're hard to keep alive in your bucket. So that's that's the negative side of them. And but as far as they work, you know, and bluegill, you know, if you get something a little dark, jig that looks kind of like a little cricket or something, they're going to hit that, but they love, you know, waxworms and crickets and stuff. So your bluegill fishermen have a tendency to use live bait. A lot of crappie fishermen do. Bass fishermen typically don't.
Right.
Catfish fishermen, if they're going for flatheads, they're using, you know, live bluegill or goldfish. And then if they're going for blues, though, the preferred there is a cut bait.
Yeah. So it really does.
It's all over the spectrum.
And it depends on
what you're trying to catch.
What you're trying
to
catch.
And I think with bass fishermen, we're there to trick them.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
part of the deal. Plus, bass aren't that hard to catch on artificial bait. You find
they
them.
Are hard for some people.
Well,
Mike,
it's finding
okay?
them. It's finding them. It's once you find the fish, you can get them to.
The line is: there has to be a bass out there that is dumber than I am drunk.
Yes,
they exist,
and sometimes that's difficult to locate. If live bait was allowed in a tournament, would you guys catch 10% more, or would it be like 200% more? Like, how drastic?
Man, that's a good question.
How drastic of
a
difference is there?
Just because nobody's done it for so long.
You know, the guys that were chasing the world record there out there in California, they were using live crawfish because that's those fish that get, you know, that big. They're not.
Yeah.
And they're not easy.
That's
to
a good
prick,
question.
You know?
Too. I would say there would be a learning curve,
right?
And then it would be significant.
Yeah.
The guy from California said, microphone.
Chris is all dangerous.
He's the big 12-pound bass guy.
Yeah.
I would say with the electronics, that guys that would get good with the electronics and good with throwing getting a shiner or something right up in their face.
Can you imagine forward-facing sonar and just putting a Carolina rig crawdad in front of
them? Yeah, they're going to wipe it
game
out.
Game over.
They're going to hit it.
They don't even have to be hungry.
No, they're going to hit
you
it.
You get it that close to them, they're going to eat it.
They're going
to
eat it.
We're going to bring you, that's all right. We're going to get you the fishing report here in just a moment. And we probably touch on this a little bit more in that segment as well. But talking about tournaments that you have coming up, Mike, not only are you competing in a few, but there's one that you wanted to spread more about. Please do.
We it's a 100 boats tournament. We got about, I think Jay told me this morning, there's like maybe 8-12 spots left. It's Warrior William Fishing for a Cause. It's for Rett syndrome. It's going to be 100 of the best guys at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
And the amount of raffle prizes and attendance prizes and silent auction prizes, everybody walks away with something. Jay just told me this morning, Mark, they got $8,500 worth of rod and reel combos, one of which is a Jay Loomis with a Steez on it valued at like $1,200.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And that'll be – so what you do is they feed you. There's a dinner the night before. It's out of Red Oak. Dinner, water, soda, salad, cookies, all that kind of stuff. And then they have auction items, so you just buy raffle tickets and put whatever – you could buy 100 and put them all in one bucket, or you can just go around and put 10 in this one, 5 in that one, and then they draw all that stuff off. The tournament's the next day. Weigh-ins that – afternoon when we get in, they feed you again, and then there's an award ceremony.
Nice.
The Hibden family will be
there.
That's
so cool.
Sakura, I mean, myself, I'm not like, I shouldn't mention myself.
But yes, you
with
should.
Those guys.
Yes, you
but
should.
It's just a great time, and it's Red Oak RV and Campground.
Gotcha.
And it is, it's at Lake of the Ozarks, Friday, October 13th. That's the Friday of the dinner. The tournament's on Saturday.
Gotcha. Any
Friday
social media or website or anything?
You can just search Warrior William Bass Tournament 2023.
Gotcha.
And then they roll out the red carpet. It's a really good time.
Awesome. When is it again?
Friday, October 13th. Gotcha. And that'll be my next tournament warming up for the next two I got after that, which are both championships. One for Oak Outdoors at Stockton, one at Lake of the Ozarks for Anglers in Action.
Well, we'll definitely continue to promote that over the next couple weeks then.
That's cool. I'll send you the info and you can just, yeah.
That's great stuff. That's awesome. That is professional fisherman Mike Marfell. He is in studio with us. So is Perry Woods. And, of course, my partner Mark McMurray from Bluff City Outdoors. We are going to get you that weekly fishing report next. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
There's a boy down the road on a bridge with his fishing pole. There's a soldier hugging his dad.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Been a very fun show at a fun time of year to be taking advantage of the great outdoors. Hunting season is basically upon us, it is in Missouri at least, and only days away in the state of Illinois, and a great time to be out on the water as well. So hopefully you are enjoying the great outdoors this time of year. Make sure before your next trip outside that you stop by Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's, to prepare for that, whether you're hunting or fishing or just spending some time outside. They can help you prepare there at Bluff City Outdoors. Also, want to remind you, we talk about this great weather and this great time to be doing outdoor activities. None better than grilling. What a perfect time to be out there cooking on the deck. Some great weekends, some great evenings. Nice.
Grill that wallet.
A lot of pictures being shared in the studio today. I'm telling you, this is just a cool time of year. People excited to be outside and out on the water. And as I mentioned, not a better time to be out grilling either. Make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you next time you are grilling. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, not only a local family-owned business, but also the number one ranked consumer charcoal across the country. 9 years running. Just absolutely superior product across the board. If you're used to the traditional briquettes, you will cook with Rockwood Lump Charcoal one time and you will never go back. It's just a superior experience across the board. You don't need nearly as much of the charcoal, so your 20-pound bag goes a whole lot further than with the traditional briquettes. Also gives you more control. Rockwood Lump Charcoal burns hotter. It burns faster. And you can find Rockwood Lump Charcoal at over 100 area locations, including all Ace Hardware stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, I'm Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah, my buddy Perry Woods, professional fisherman Mike Marfell, I almost went too fast there. Perry Woods, professional fisherman Mike Marfell, and my partner Mark McMurray. You both have the double M names, and I was like, I almost got messed up there. And that time of the week for me to stop talking, which is good, and to bring you this week's fishing report. So, Mark, take it away.
Okay, first stop, Truman Lake with Jordan Leary. He's a buddy and a guide out there. Crappie, good fish, 13 to 25 feet of water, 12 to 20 feet down. Fish the standing timber on the main lake flats and the brush piles. Crappie bombs tipped with minnows are working great. Catfish are good, drifting in the main lake flats and humps from 20 to 30 feet with fresh shad, live or cut. Bass fair, fish the main lake points in the brush piles. Throw a half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles at 10 to 15 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rig, and brush hogs are all working. Walleye fair, fish the main lake humps in the points. Crawler harnesses and trolling cranks are working well on the main lake flats, 10 to 20 feet. White bass and hybrids, fair, fish the main lake humps in the flats with live shad on a Carolina rig, 10 to 25 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Half ounce and 1 ounce jigging spoons are working okay. Casting Charlie Brewer's 3-inch bass sliders on a 1/4 ounce head on the humps and the flats are also working well. Pearl and chartreuse, baby bass, and pearl colors. And he also said Alabama rigs are working well. Yep.
Haven't mentioned it.
Haven't heard that.
Yeah,
been a
there
while.
Was. We were on a roll where Alabama rigs were being mentioned consistently, and it's been a few months since we've heard that.
Yeah, that'll be coming back.
Right? Yep. Coming back. Yep. Mm-hmm. Next stop, Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Jason Kaiser up there, crappie. He said they're fishing the brush in a structure, 8 to 10 feet of water. Minnows are working good as well as plastics. Still a lot of 8 to 9 inch fish with an occasional 10 inch are being caught. Bass fish the main lake bluff walls with pole timber suspended in 8 to 15 feet. Windy days back in the pockets with spinner baits and shallow crankbaits and topwater. Find the bait fish. Carlisle, Eric Morey, he's one of my pro staffers. Carlisle Lake's at 445.08 and the water temp 73 degrees. With the weather changing, the quick drop in temps has definitely played a huge role in overall bite slowing down. Said, but a few crappie and white bass are still being caught on smaller jigs and shad in natural colors. Local lakes and rivers, Eric Morey. Bass bite is good with the quick change in the water temps has slowed the bite down a bit. Said the crappie and white bass have also slowed a little bit, but they're getting ready to start putting the feed sack on.
Mm-hmm.
Blues on the river has slowed down a little bit and with the low water and the falling water temps. Wren, Fred Mooney, lake is 405 and the bite is good when you can find the crappie. Water temps are slowly dropping, currently at 70 degrees. Find the bait, find the fish, which is easy right now with the current population of pelicans. I was going to say, yes, find the pelicans.
That's right.
Orange head, black chartreuse body has the go-to color this week, 5 to 8 feet. The bottom sets it in timber. Fishing those sets the core puts out. River catfish and Jason Schneiderhan. Fish have been a little slow for the last few days. Bait has been tough to get, but he's still finding a few fish. Southern Illinois Lakes with Gabe Montgomery.
Ten horse.
So things are finally changing. We are moving into the fall-type pattern. Water temps have dropped into the high 70s on Southern Illinois Lakes. The grass has reached its peak for the year. Combine that with the lower water levels due to the lack of rain, and we have ideal conditions for frog fishing. I like to start with the main lake grass mats and work my way into the coves as the water continues to cool. Look for green, healthy grass. Listen for bait activity in the grass. He said 100%. when you hear popping, a.k.a. popcorn, you found a worthy mat. Cover as many of these good-looking mats as you can in a day. I like a black or brown frog in the fall. Vary your cadence until you figure out what the fish want. It changes daily. Good luck and set the hook hard.
Get those frogs at Bluffs of the Outdoors.
Yep. Yeah, and stick a couple rattles in the back of those.
Well, Mike's going to do the Lake of the Ozarks bass report in a second, too. But just to give a shout-out to Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. Ten Horse Bonnie. I love his part of the fishing report every week because he does give some of those, that type of advice, that type of, the structure and the specific, you know.
That poppin's bluegill.
And, yeah, and the, mm-hmm. and even, like, the sounds to listen for. Like, I love that. And you can get more of that great information and insight about fishing on his YouTube channel, Ten Horse Monty on YouTube, and you can see a lot of Mike's exploits on that YouTube channel as well. So, yeah, all of those guys that provide.
We got a couple round tables out there from a couple years ago where there may or may not have been drinking, and six fishermen sitting around talking for 3 hours. Too.
Yeah, those guys are all so good, and it's just such great information that we get from Ten Horse and everybody that contributes to the fishing report every week. So great stuff. All right. Lake of the Ozarks.
Very similar to the Truman. You can still catch them out there in that brush in 15 to 20 to 25, but more and more of them are moving back shallow. Chase the wind into the shallow flats in the back. I'm talking about 5 feet or less, and just cover water. If you're not getting bit, move, because they are back there somewhere on that lake actively feeding. And if you can't get bit half a day doing that, you can go out and drag a jig around in that deep brush and catch some fish that are out there. But the active feeding ones are going to be under that bait, chasing them bait in the wind. And I would use square bill, chatterbait, swim a jig. That would be my three choices.
And I know whenever I ask you all the time, you know, like how long is it a good time to fish? And you always say until the water is frozen.
And it's going to just keep getting better from here moving towards that.
So that was going to be my question. Does it peak at any point? And are we still going up?
For me. So when it really gets good.
Yeah. So it's like.
And there's less and less boat traffic too once you get to November.
Right. Yeah.
Stock caps, remember? All the big fish come when I got a stock cap on. Yeah. See pictures.
How big of a difference is it at the lake now that it is there really a big. Because there used to be after speaking specifically about Lake of the Ozarks, after Labor Day, even the weekends. I mean, the weekends are still going to be busy.
It's at least into mid-October now, in my opinion.
Yeah, gotcha. So it hasn't really... There's
it's not like it is in the
difference.
Summer, but it don't take many.
Right. No, for sure. And as far as like catfishing and other species are concerned, is it kind of the same thing? Like
this is the beginning of this is a good stretch.
Go time.
There's a lot of big fish get caught.
Shorter the days.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shorter and shorter the days, the mm-hmm. more they feed.
They get turned on.
Why the Alabama rig right now? Why is that?
It's not so much right now. It's from suspended fish when it gets a little colder, I think, around docks. As it gets colder, that's going to come more and more into play.
Gotcha. Yeah, something could peak. Go ahead.
What's too many fish for the Alabama rig? You know, I might think of the Texas rig.
No, you're.
I've got the little spider thing where there are five.
No, you're right. You're right. Alabama.
In Missouri, the rule is five baits, three hooks. You can have two dummy baits.
Oh,
so
really?
You want those?
I didn't
on the
realize that. Okay. Yeah.
So you want the? I usually go with a bigger one in the center, two on the bottom, have the hooks, and the two on the top are the dummy baits.
And
I usually put one in the middle, just a little bit bigger than the other one.
Yeah.
I have a different color.
And what was it? What is it? Five? I'm so bad when it comes to like gauging the passage of time. But when the Alabama rig exploded, Mark, was that 5 years ago? 10 years ago?
Say about eight years ago.
Yeah, eight to nine, probably.
Went crazy.
Yeah, and I know that when that happened, that you know, just like every year, this year it was electronics. Every year there's some debate about the latest fad and should it be allowed and should it be legal. And that happened with Alabama rigs. Are they typically allowed in most tournaments?
Most.
Yeah.
So I fish one that
it's not.
They
become pretty common. It's not the...
Yeah, I fish the Oak Outdoors where it's not.
Yeah.
And I like it just because I don't have to throw it. Because there's times a year, if you don't throw it, you're going to get beat by it.
Really?
Yeah.
You almost feel like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's a whole other...
It's not a long, long period, but right. I mean, there is a time. When they're on that, it's hard to beat it.
Yeah. Why, if it's that much of a game changer that you feel like you have to use it or you're putting yourself at a disadvantage, why the reluctance? Why do you not?
It's exhausting to throw that thing all day. I'm getting older. And I mean, honestly, it's like lobbing a chandelier, man.
It's
exhausting.
And then when I'm putting it away, I got to put them together and stick them in a little bag.
Yeah.
So I don't have to rehook.
Right.
Just rigging it the whole bit.
Yeah.
The whole bit.
Yeah. Are they still pretty popular?
Oh, yeah.
As far as consumers are concerned, Mark? Yep. Like people still buy them?
Yep. Yeah.
I'm reluctant to throw them, but I got two or three boxes full of them. So, I mean, it's not like I don't have them.
You can donate them to me or Perry anytime. If you want to offload any of that stuff, we got a spot for you. All right, great show today. Perfect. Can I mention
something real quick?
Oh, please, yes.
It's the third annual Bi-State High School Bass Fishing Team Conference.
Oh, I love that. We're talking about high school fishing. That is
Saturday,
so great.
December 2nd, 2023, this year, obviously, at the St. Charles County Ambulance District Headquarters out in St. Peter. So just go to AmericanFishingAlliance@gmail.com for anything, and you can figure it out there. But there's going to be pros. Like seminars, tips and techniques. They're going to have raffles, vendors, booths. I think me and Mark might try to get a booth out there.
Yeah.
Tackle giveaways. It's all the high school teams from Missouri and Illinois.
That is so cool. I am all about supporting that, talking about that. You said it's in December, right?
So December 2nd.
Yeah. Let's promote that and maybe even see if we can get some of the guys from that tournament to come on the show.
It's not a tournament. It's just a seminar.
The event. I'd love to talk to those guys.
We've compared it to golf, and I always think of golf as being this beautiful place that you're at, just like a lake. So you can imagine what kids that from the inner city and stuff like that are in these high school teams that don't get a chance to be on water. How awesome that has to be.
Oh, yeah.
That is so cool.
I could take one and hook him with a 70-mile-an-hour bass boat ride like that.
Yes.
A young man can take a hot ride in a bass boat. He'd be wanting to be bass fisher.
Forever.
Yeah. Yep.
Ever.
Yep. Wow, that's so cool. I hope that, that more and more fishing classes in high schools, I'm all for it. So, we'll definitely be promoting that seminar as we get closer and closer. All right. If you missed anything from today, just a lot of great conversation and stories. Make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. We put it out every week on basically every podcast platform. So you can find us anywhere. You can also find us on the Bluff City Outdoors Show or Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. You can find the podcast each and every week as well. Follow Mike at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Make sure you visit Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook and tune in to us here each and every
and in person
week.
And get some of them frogs because
yeah,
it's time.
Yeah, amen, amen. All right, what a great show today for producer Leah and Perry Woods and Mike Marfell and Mark McMurray. I'm Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
We love the stars and stripes. This is NRA country. We love the outdoor life. We hunt and fish and teach our kids not to live life in a hurry. It's where I was raised. This is NRA.